John Jaworski, the professor. How are you?
Nick, how are you, my friend?
So who are you breaking down today?
Right now, I just completed the Bengals defense, or lack thereof, and that dynamic San Diego offense. I mean, it was like watching the old American Football League games, man. It was a quarterback.
Lance Allworth, I think, was out there. I think I saw him.
He may have been free. I think he caught a couple from Philip Rivers himself.
I think he did, and Philip Rivers has turned into let's get to the argument, and we're going to have a quote from Steve Young, who was very impressed with your comments from last time about young quarterbacks. And let me ask you this. It is very difficult for a general manager to hold on to any number one draft pick for a year, let alone two. San Diego sits on Philip Rivers for 2 years. Drew Brees allowed them the luxury of doing that. But still, it's been pretty impressive to see the lesson learned from giving a guy the chance to learn the system, understand everything, understand the speed of it, and then put it in like they did with Philip Rivers this year.
Yeah, there really are two schools of thought, Nick. You know, there are some that are successful inserting the quarterback immediately, much like Peyton Manning did when he went to the Indianapolis Colts. He started every game there since his rookie year. Then you see the success of maybe a Steve McNair when he first came in the league. You know, he didn't start immediately. Jeff Fisher brought him along. You see the success now of Philip Rivers, where he sits for a couple of years and learns a game from a wily old veteran like Drew Brees. Not only learns the game, he learns the system. He learns how to be a professional. He learns how to prepare. He learns how to study. All those things come into play. Maybe I'm a little bit old school in this, but I think a quarterback needs that little bit of time to breathe after that collegiate career to the NFL career. It's a quantum leap from collegiate football to the National Football League. So I think a quarterback needs that time to kind of chill out and understand what it's going to take to be successful at the NFL level.
Ron, also, don't you think it helps to have a head coach like a Marv Levy or coming up here, or in this case, Marty Schottenheimer, who also, beyond the system, teaches the quarterback how to be a leader?
No, I think that's paramount to the position. You know, I mean, the quarterback is eventually going to become the face of a football team. How he acts becomes the characteristic of a football team. So clearly, you know, that's the most important position on the football team. And I'm not saying that because I played it for 17 years. You know, you can ask people from every other facet of the game, and they will tell you, if you don't solve your problems at quarterback, you'll never be successful long term. And if you make a mistake at the quarterback via a trade or in the draft, it sets you back from 3 to 5 years. So that's why it's so critical when you're looking at a quarterback. You not only evaluate his ability to throw a football, to throw it accurately, to read coverage, the intelligence, but the leadership skills. You know, is he the type of guy that can rally a football team either two ways, one by example or just the way that he carries himself?
Here's Steve Young talking about the same thing. Which young quarterback can get it done, can learn that system and the speed he has to make decisions?
Recall. It's like you call the play. You don't have to think about what the play is. You don't have to think about necessarily that there's motion or that there's a protection issue or anything else. It all just comes out. And then now you can focus on the defense, because that's the key. Can I get to a point where I have a handle on all of my offensive needs, everybody in every position, every player, every read, now I can focus on the 11 guys. Most young quarterbacks never truly see the defense. They know that there's guys roaming around. They have a sense of it. They might see a safety here or a corner here. But they're so engrossed in trying to figure out to get the playoff and get the motion done and get the ball snapped and make their reads that a lot of times young quarterbacks will drop back and throw the football. And you'll say to yourself watching the game, how could he possibly do that? Because his mind is so far behind the play.
That's Steve Young, and let's stick with this. Philip Rivers, and we look at Vince Young and his learning curve, and Ben Roethlisberger, who's taken a step back. Let's jump over to Roethlisberger. I mean, we know the physical challenge of concussions. I'm sure you probably had a couple concussions, Ron.
Far too many, Nick.
Well, I acted like I had a few myself, but with Roethlisberger, you know, I've taken Bill Cowher to task, not because he isn't one of the best coaches in the NFL, but just because I thought Charlie Batch, you know, given the decision, do I want to risk this guy's career? Ben Roethlisberger has been the most successful young quarterback maybe in the history of the game so quickly, but he's taken a step back, hasn't he, to some degree?
You know, it's easy to take people to task when you have access to the results. You know, we get the opportunity to talk about games on television, on radio, after the fact. Unfortunately, Bill Cowher didn't have access to the results when he had to make a decision, you know, to go to Charlie Batch or stay with Ben Roethlisberger. Coaches do not make those decisions in a vacuum. You know, they make them through what a player has done historically, through coach's evaluation, and when it comes to medical issues, through doctor's evaluations as well. So, you know, with the facts that Bill had in mind and that he had access to, he made a decision. Because it didn't work out doesn't mean it was the wrong decision. You know, so those are always difficult. It seems easy for us because we talk about them after these things have happened. But clearly when you look at Ben Roethlisberger, and I think, you know, there's enough blame to go around. Certainly, you know, Ben is a stand-up guy. You know, he will point to himself first and say he has to play better. But I think when I look at the tape of what they're doing, I think they've gotten away from their identity. I think the Steelers are a solid defensive team. To be successful, they have to run the football effectively and mix in the play-action passing game. I think they've gotten away from the running game and become too resilient and dependent on the passing game. And when you're asking Ben Roethlisberger, still in an embryonic stage of his quarterback development, to throw the ball 40 to 50 times a game, I think you're going to end up with mistakes, and that's exactly what has happened.
So, as they came back, they won a big game in New Orleans. Now, I guess the bottom line is Bill has made that commitment, but it still looks as if they have changed their personality. Suddenly, Jerome Bettis is out of the picture, and they've forgotten about their running game. What would you advise Bill Cowher, putting you right on the hot seat here, in terms of positioning themselves for the same kind of run they had last year?
Well, it's going to be much more difficult because it looks like they're going to have to win a bunch of games right now, like 7 in a row. I don't think 9-7 will get them to the playoffs, and they have a very difficult schedule down the road. But I think we saw that identity coming back last week against the Saints. You know, they did run the football very well. Willie Parker did run the football inside as well as outside. He spread the defense sideline to sideline in the running game. When you do that, it opened up the Roethlisberger passing game. You saw the voids in the intermediate passing game because the linebackers were cheating up against the run. So clearly they got back to their identity of what they are, to run the football first and then set up the play-action pass game. And that, you know, that blueprint has been successful for them in the past.
Well, we talked to Jim Kelly yesterday also about this tendency, and we've talked about it before with you, to almost overcoach. Here's Jim Kelly from yesterday's show.
I don't know about you, but Lenny it doesn't matter what the situation is. Sometimes I feel that they put too much in quarterbacks' minds. I feel that sometimes you've got to let quarterbacks just be quarterbacks and be the athletes they are. Let them on the field, and if they have a chance to get out of a play, let them get out of a play. Put them. I think I watched it the other day when he was up at the line of scrimmage almost under the center, and he's looking at his wristband. I mean, you're supposed to be looking at the defense. What are you looking at your wristband for?
That's Jim Kelly. In other words, sorry about that disconnection for a second. Jim Kelly talking about the fact that there's too much. You've got wristbands. You're looking at the wrong things. You think there's too much overcoaching?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, the volume now that the quarterbacks and the offensive personnel have to understand and learn is absolutely amazing. You know, if you see the coaches on the side and now the play callers, you know, they used to be a kind of an index card. Then it grew to an 8x11 sheet. Now it's like a 2x3 game plan, color-coded, every situation that you could imagine in the course of a game, and they're calling plays. You now have the quarterbacks with the wristband, you know, that covers up their entire wrist to their elbow with plays on them. And then besides that, you now have the high-tech Motorola sound system where the coaches can talk to the quarterback in the huddle before he goes to the line of scrimmage. I mean, you talk about, you know, an overload of information. My God, they're making it very difficult to play the position.
Ron, we just got a couple minutes here, so now we'll go to the graduate level course, which is, of course, Peyton Manning. And the level that he is playing, the way that he looked going against that 3-4 New England defense and picked it apart, it was as if, and I know New England doesn't have quite the firepower that they may have had on defense before, but still, what is he able to do this year that is clearly at a level perhaps he's never played at?
Well, I think there's been a couple things this season that he hasn't done in the past. Number one, the mobility issue. You're starting to see Peyton Manning make plays outside the pocket. Movement within the pocket has always been his strength. Now you're seeing him forced with pressure up the middle to move outside the pocket and make plays. I think the other thing, he's becoming much more patient. Maybe it's with age. Who really knows? But now he's taking what the defense gives him. And the Buffalo game was a real-life example of that. He wasn't forcing the football into coverage. Clearly, Buffalo was determined to take away Reggie Wayne and Marvin Harrison, holding them to 6 catches in the game. Peyton did not try to force the football in there. When he had the opportunity to get the ball to them, he did, but he was patient. Of optimum importance to Peyton Manning is to win, period. He's not a stats guy. He's not a numbers guy. He just wants to win football games. So those are the two things that I've seen him improve upon this year.
Okay, last question, Professor of Passing, Ron Jaworski. Tom Brady seems to be forcing the ball, even with a running game that's perhaps, with Maroney, more dominant than ever.
Well, I think when you look at Tom Brady and the New England offense, you look at receivers that are average at best. The windows he has to throw in are not the huge windows he's had in the past when he's had Givens and Branch. Right now, he's got receivers that, I know they played in mud on Sunday, but this receiving core often looks like they're playing in mud. Outside of Chad Jackson, they have very little speed at the wide receiver.
Well, that answers it all. Thanks for all the great work you do to help us understand the game, Ron Jaworski. Go back to that film lab, and we'll check in with you. The Einstein of the NFL, Ron Jaworski. Thanks, my friend.
Back to the lab, Nick. Thanks.
See you, buddy. There's a guy that puts, talk about work ethic. We'll be right back with Marv Levy on quarterbacks and leadership. You're listening to Head Games on Sports Byline Network and Sirius Channel 122.